As we wrap up our series on the book of Jude and the Mythbuster series, today we want to bust wide open the myth that I can do it myself. When it comes to spiritual things, I can't do anything. It's God and God alone. And we want to say that from the upright. We need His help. And when we think about honoring today and yesterday, Flight 93, as a nation, we understand that we can't fight an enemy like this on our own. We need help. We are fighting an enemy unlike we have ever had before as a nation. Al-Qaeda, jihad, terrorists. They have no land of their own. We have no country we can invade and conquer. And sad to say, their main point in life is just to kill people who don't agree with them. Jude comes to us and reminds us that we have an enemy, many enemies. And as Andrew shared last week, let me just share with you a verse from his context last week that is so powerful. Because our enemy, in the context of Jude right here that he's sharing, is people within the church. And these are men who come to divide us, who follow mere natural instincts and do not have the Spirit. It's almost similar to now what they call these cell groups, who, how many we don't even know that are in our country, simulating to what we are as Americans for the opportunity to destroy. And we need to pray for God and humble ourselves as a nation that God would have His mercy on us. And I believe God has through that. But as a nation, we still need to pray. And as God's people, we need to pray that God would humble all of us as a nation, that we would turn to Him. But His church, you and I who name the name of Christ, we cannot take the enemy of our souls for granted. We cannot fight this enemy on our own. And as Jude has been teaching us through the Holy Spirit and through the men these last couple weeks, it's something we need to be on guard for. But it's such an encouraging thing that Jude wraps up his letter to the Christians in such a positive, powerful way. Peter, our study in 2 Peter that just preceded this, was kind of the opposite way. Peter started out with the positive. We have everything we need for life and godliness. Now, make every effort to add to your faith qualities of who our Savior is, with love and knowledge, so that if you do this, you will not be unproductive and you will not fall, because Jesus goes before us. Today, Jude ends with similar powerful message for us to hear today. Can you hear me? Let's pray that we can hear from the Holy Spirit. Father, today we thank You that we are not alone. As the enemy of our soul, as this world, as even people who infiltrate the body of Christ try to take us away from the purity and the beauty of Your word, we ask for help. Father, we confess we cannot do this without Your help. May we as a people call out to You, as we heard Jeff sing this morning, and that You will come. Thank You for Your promises. Help us to hear the message today and to apply it to our very lives. In Jesus' name. Well, I'm going to pick up where Andrew left off in verse 20. 20 to 23. Let me just read it. I'm going to make some comments on it. Hear Jude's heart in this. But you, dear friends, here's the first thing you want to do. Build yourself up in your most holy faith. Build on Scott's message a while ago. Contend for the faith. It is your faith in Christ and the Word of God that will enrich your hearts and give you the ability to stand firm. If you and I are not people who are doing this, we are very susceptible to being brought down. And pray in the Holy Spirit. This simply means surrendering and submitting to the power of the Holy Spirit in your life. If you and I claim to believe in Jesus Christ as our Savior, and He's come by the Holy Spirit and washed us clean, He now indwells us. And I need to realize that. And every time I get on my knees or I'm driving my car, I need to say, Holy Spirit, help me to pray for your will, for my Father's will, as it is in heaven, so may it be here on earth in my life. Submit, use the Word of God to pray. The Holy Spirit will help us. That's what He's been sent for to do. A helper, a comforter. Keep yourself in God's love as you wait for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ to bring you to eternal life. You've heard it here said before, love's the key. We want to love God and love each other. And we need to be connected to God on a daily basis, moment by moment, allowing His love to flow through the spiritual veins of our life and heart. Cry out for that. That's something that you and I can pray for daily. Lord, let me be a person of your love. Keep me in your love. Maintain it. Be aware of it. We can't let our guard down as a nation with this kind of enemy. You and I cannot let our guard down on the things that are out there to destroy our soul. But God is our helper, a very present help in the time of trouble. Verse 22, now some more explicit instructions. Be merciful to those who doubt. We all get to that point where life comes, drags us down, we become fearful, doubt. We need to encourage each other's faith. God will see us through. His promises are true. You can depend on them. Snatch others from the fire. We need to be a people who are telling friends, family, even nations of the world, Jesus is the answer. Only He can save. Only He can cleanse. Only He can heal the brokenhearted. Only Christ can save us from the judgment that is to come. We need to be people who proclaim that message, as the Word says, from the rooftops. Let's be that people. And save them to show mercy, mixed with fear, recognizing the seriousness of this, hating even the clothing stained by corrupted flesh. The stuff that's out there, don't let it get into your heart. It will try to captivate you and enslave you. Jesus says, hate what is evil. Cling to what is good. That's the kind of people we need to be. And as I studied this, and all of us who teach up front, we're trying to get a lot of correct data, and we're looking at words, and we're studying other passages that blend into it. I was doing this, trying to get information to share with you, and then I got to these last two verses. And my study changed. It actually became a time for me of worship. And as I began to think about this, I want to share this next verse in the framework that God worked on my heart in worship. To Him. This is paramount for everything. If you and I don't have a great understanding of this truth, we're not going to accomplish the things that God wants us to do, and we're going to be very susceptible to the falling that God talks about in the next few verses. To Him, it is all about Him. Ask yourself, is that where you stand in the framework of your mind and life? To Him. As I began to meditate and worship on that, verses and songs came into my heart. Not to us, O Lord, not to us, but to Your name be the glory. It must be about Him. Here's a great verse that popped into my heart. I'm just going to read it. Jeremy's not going to turn to it. Colossians, 1st chapter 15. He's the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For by Him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities. All things were created by Him and for Him and therefore to Him. He is worthy of my praise. Say that with me. To Him. To Him. Then it goes on to say, to Him who is able. That word able means, and I think you'll understand this right away, the word in the Greek is dunamai. Anybody recognize that verse, that word? Power. We get it from dynamite. To Him who is able. We are declaring our allegiance and worship to the One who is all powerful. We can't forget that. Nothing is too hard for our God. And the contents of the verse, as enemies try to tear us down and speak in our hearts and whisper lies, nothing is too hard for God to overcome that. He is the great overcomer by His blood, by the word of His mouth, and I can testify to that. To Him who is able, say that with me, to Him who is able. He's able to keep me from falling. In the context here, the falling is certainly susceptible to the false teachers and what's coming about. But this is certainly a principle that we can take and span of everything. God is able to keep me from falling into any trap or pitfall. The word here, fall, means to stumble. Not even to stumble. God's able to keep me from that. Back in 2 Peter, when he used the word fall, it's a different word. That's a powerful word that I won't be susceptible to all the temptations here. Jude is even saying, not even to being tripped up. That's how powerful our Savior is. He is able to keep me from falling. What do I need to understand that? In the midst of us here who have experienced our loved ones who have fallen. And just recently, Gary. I don't judge Gary. I love him. But I certainly understand this. If you and I don't recognize to Him who is able to keep me from falling and stay there, I will fall. I cannot overcome the temptations of this world. But God is faithful, says Corinthians 10, and will make a way of escape for me. He is able to keep me from falling. To Him who is able to keep me from falling, say that with me. To Him who is able to keep me from falling. And to present me before his glorious presence. Wow. One day, not because of righteousness that I have done, but one day I will stand before Jesus himself and see him in all his glory. One of the songs that came into my heart was, "Oh, what a day that will be. When by his grace I will look at his face, that will be glory for me." You and I have the privilege to stand before the presence of God's glory. I can't imagine what that'll be like. And here's the tough part. Before I go on, say that with me. To him who is able to keep me from falling and to present us before his glorious presence, say it. To him who is able to keep us from falling and to present you before his glorious presence without fault. I'm a sinner, and I see some of the stuff that is in my heart. We sang about it today, "Such a worm as I." We don't like to hear that. You like to be called a worm? No. I'm wretched before the face of a holy God. How dare I think that I'm something in my spiritual realm? Now, here's where we get confused. Physically, we can accomplish so much. We are very creative people. Again, only because of how God made us. But we can leave God out of things and still do marvelous, wonderful, fantastic things. But spiritually, I can't do a thing. I'm wretched. My sin nature will always be that until I get a new and glorious body. And I stand without fault. Now hear this. Because of what Jesus did, I don't have to have any shame for my wretchedness. I don't have to have guilt for my wretchedness. That blows me away because I understand how sinful my heart can be. But by faith, I stand on what he accomplished at the cross. Faultless, the Bible says, without blemish, spotless. I can't comprehend that, but I embrace it. That's what my Savior has done for me. To him who was able to keep me from falling and to present me before his glorious presence without fault. Say it with me. To him who is able to keep me from falling and to present me before his glorious presence without fault. Ah, you ran ahead there. But it's coming. Without fault and great joy. The shame is gone. Stand on the word of God. The guilt is gone. I can stand before my presence of my Lord with great joy because I know what he has done has been sufficient before the Father. He paid the price. He took on the shame. And I can stand with great joy. How do we respond to that? Hallelujah! Don't let this world rob you of that joy. I have been set free. Oh, how wonderful that is. To him who was able to keep me from falling and to present me before his presence with great, his glorious presence without fault and great joy. Say it with me. To him who was able to keep me falling and to present me before his glorious presence without fault and great joy. Do you believe that? I love the point last week as Andrew ended his teaching. All the things that he said to do, he brought us back to Christ. It is Christ and Christ alone that I can accomplish any of this. See, that's the gospel message. When I recognize I stand before God guilty and Jesus paid my penalty, by faith I accept that gift of love and he cleanses me. And now, same power, he gives me the ability to walk his ways because I can't. So therefore, my praise is to the only God, our Savior, be glory, majesty, power, and authority through Jesus Christ, our Lord, before all ages, now and forevermore. You just study those words. It's a wonderful exercise of meditation and worship. Go home, look them up, glory, majesty, power, and authority. It just keeps building. You look around this world, and you could become fearful. But Christ is telling us, you don't need to be afraid. The sovereign God of the universe has planned it all out. God knew before the foundation of the world that people like Jihad would have hate in their hearts to kill people for the purpose of killing. God has a plan for that. I don't understand all that, but I believe it. And our God is faithful to accomplish it. So then, we come as a memorial today to remember. 9/11 is a memorial to remember, but it's not a celebration. It's a memorial to remember lives that have been taken out of such hatred. It's a time to remember lives that have sacrificed, giving up their own to save others. A sobering memorial. Today, we come to this memorial and we remember what Christ has accomplished, but we celebrate with great joy because what Christ accomplished on the cross was for you and me. I can do all things through Christ. Whatever problem you face this coming year, new school year, new jobs, no jobs, heartache, loved ones who fall, our God says it's taken care of. I got it covered in my blood. I'm going to ask the ushers if they would come forward. We're going to pass out the elements. Pass out the bread first. You'll take and wait. Then we'll pass out the juice representing his blood. And we'll celebrate what our Savior did for us.